Good morning. Have we met before? You look vaguely familiar to me.
Yeah, you too.
You've been on the phone this morning. I'm wondering, I'm being a little nosy. Who were you talking to on the phone this morning?
Well, it seems my colleagues and friends back home are, like, very enthusiastic to contact, like, newspapers and radio. So they're arranging, and they told me the times that, like, today and tomorrow, like, three newspapers and radio stations are gonna call. So they told me the times that I have to be, you know, with the phone and, like...
So when's the first call?
10 to 8.
That's very soon. Well, that's about a half hour. Did you ever think you'd be receiving media attention?
Well...
In your life?
Yes, well... The thing is, as a youth, I was also in some other sports, like drafts. I was very, very good, so I did get some media attention. But now, I mean, my main purpose for the race is, of course, like, to have a, you know, deep spiritual experience. But I know that other runners also always tried after the race to, inspire their communities or their countries with what they achieved with the help of, you know, meditation center here. And I just didn't, when I came here, I hadn't dared to hope that already during the race, like, like media in Holland would be so interested. So it's really great, because now, of course, it's like, it's really happening. So it's great that they want to show it now. And it's also, I mean, great for me to see that my friends Abinaba and my colleagues from the store, they're so enthusiastic and have such oneness with what's happening here, that, you know, they do their best to arrange things and to share this inspiration of the race with other people.
Well, let's turn the clock back to, I think, the early days when Pontar was saying, take it easy, you could do it next year, don't hurt yourself, don't push too hard. That was a long, long time ago, and you're quite a different person and quite a different runner since that first day.
Yeah, it's true. Like I got a last-minute invitation to join the race, and, you know, I never really showed the capacity needed to finish. So Rupanter, you know, tried to protect me against myself and said, you know, take it easy, don't even try to finish, just do 50 miles a day for the first 3 weeks. And, you know, learn from the other runners. And then I think in the course of the race, like, we both surprised, we're both surprised with how well it was going, and, you know, then the scope changed.
But were you thinking that it was possible to do the finish line from the very first day, or that you thought, well, let me just do it first, it's like stepping up the mountain, and I'll just see how far I can go?
Thank you, Nika. Sorry.
You know, let me go up this, head up this mountain. If I get to the top, that would be great, but let me just see how far I can go. I mean, is that a good analogy?
Yeah, that's just more or less how I felt, and I also had no clue how well I had recovered from a 10-day race, so I said, let me take this opportunity that they're giving me now, the chance to run this race and learn as much as I can and have a great spiritual experience, and then who knows, maybe next year I'll finish. And I didn't really think I would be able to finish this year.
Well, that's one of the things I think you had mentioned before, alluded before, that there's a... It's not that there's a part of us that gives up, but there's a part of us that just doesn't have enough confidence that when we start something, you know, why can't we finish it?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, halfway through the race, when I started to, you know, to glimpse that I could finish, and more so even, I started to feel that somehow my soul or something higher really wanted me to finish, then suddenly that became a struggle with that part of myself that's like insecure or doesn't want to give everything and like is afraid for the pain that it's going to be and the effort and the exhaustion, and some part of me didn't want to, you know, open up completely to receive the grace and you know, fight for it.
Well, what you're saying, I mean, is that really probably every day is a battle between all kinds of conflicting things inside, and one part of you saying, yeah, you can do it, and in fact, I want you to do it because I'm your soul, and I'm supposed to be in charge, but you have these other parts that aren't so interested in that particular goal.
Right, that's exactly it. And then you're quite surprised, you know, because you... I don't consider myself... Well, how do you say that? No, you become aware that you have some fear inside, and I normally, you know, like, I, you know, you might not have that kind of fear or insecurity, but you notice that somewhere deep inside, you cherish little comfort zones, and basically, I was, you know, I was making a good effort, like, even the first 3 weeks, but I was kind of thinking, like, you know, I give 100% of my personal, you know, capacities, and then for the rest, I... Thank you. Thank you. I pray for God's will to be done in and through me. And then at some point I realized, if you really want to open up to a higher force and let that force run through you, then it's not good enough. You have to really claim the, you know, God's will and make it your own and then fight for it. And only then you can get 200%, because then you're not only with your own efforts, your own capacities, but if you have that kind of fearless dedication, then you can draw also the Supreme's capacities, and you're not so much running, you can say, for the Supreme, but almost as the Supreme. And then once I glimpsed that, then there was a whole, you know, the resistance also came.
So, I mean, literally what you're describing is how most of us would like to live every single moment of the day, that, you know, hear the will of the Supreme and to act in that particular way.
Right, but then also to fully claim it and not only, you know, and that's harder. And like to claim that vision, higher vision as your own, and have the confidence that it's right for you, and then struggle to achieve it.
The battles that you went through, are, you know, these inner things we can't really probably put our finger on, but the pain, discomfort, fatigue, tiredness, all the human afflictions that can come to you, you've never felt this bad and this good in your life, probably.
Yeah, that's a pretty good description. It's just, I don't think I felt really bad. I can say I never had as much pain in my life, but somehow, like, amidst all of that, I was quite happy. I mean, I you know, of course, there's a lot of pain, but I didn't suffer, or I didn't get depressed. I think, you know, somehow there was grace, or there was a feeling that, you know, but it was such a blessing to be here that you know, I didn't suffer.
We had talked the other day about these spiritual athletes, the Tibetan runners and the runners of Japan. Is this anything like those historical or those mythological characters who perhaps are out there looking for enlightenment by just simply by running?
Gee. Well, the thing is, I don't think it's completely the same. But of course it's very much the same. But maybe for some reason, like, I think now in this, when with Guru as a force behind this race, like, I think this race we run not for ourselves, and sometimes with the other, like with the Japanese monks and Tibetan monks, I did get a feeling it was a question of personal transformation. And here, even though our capacities are, thank you, I guess smaller than the Tibetan and Japanese, you know, monks, on the other hand, I feel we don't run for ourselves. Of course we get transformed in the process, but like this is like working on a higher level, I think. But of course I don't have to, nobody here I guess really has a full understanding of what's going on, but that's my personal feeling.
Well, the fact that it's not something, I mean, your spiritual teacher, your connection to Sri Chinmoy is key to everything.
Sorry, Rick, here.
No, that your connection to Sri Chinmoy, I mean, your spiritual teacher and your love and commitment to what he represented, I mean, that kind of selflessness, that surrender, is really what keeps you going here, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, of course. Sorry, I don't know what I want to say.
No, that's okay. The finish line's coming up in a few hours, and I don't want to take away from the great experiences that you've had here, hope, you know, in silence and in peace.
No,
but what about the what about the finish line? What about that for the first time, and it's coming so soon?
Yeah, well, can I say this is a diamond day in a golden incarnation, you know, like. It's so special and just to be able to fulfill this kind of dream of the soul in this lifetime. It was already so special with Sri Chinmoy and so many other great things that happened. Like I'm sure the Supreme will allow me to do a few things more for him, but personally, I don't need much more than this. I'm quite fulfilled.
Thank you.